Our scripture this morning is from Proverbs 9, 1 through 6. A number of years ago, I was in Bible study and we studied this particular passage. And in my own Bible, I wrote the choice. So listen and see if you think there is a choice here. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her animals. She has mixed her wine. And she has also set her table. She has sent out her servant girls. She calls from the highest places in the town. You that are simple, turn in here. To those without sense, she says, come eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Lay aside immaturity and live and walk in the way of insight. Amen.
Thank you, Janet. We have two scriptures this morning, the one from Proverbs and then this one from the Gospel of John, the 6th chapter, beginning at the 51st verse. Jesus said, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day, for my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me and will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate, and they died, but the one who eats this bread will live forever. Here ends our gospel lesson. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for the words of your Holy Scripture, and as we ponder them this morning, we need the wisdom of your Holy Spirit to guide us in my words and our thoughts this morning. Amen. It's funny how one associates certain foods with certain people. Even today, if someone mentions strawberry shortcake, I think of my grandmother, who always made strawberry shortcake just for me. At least that's what she told me when I came to visit. Mention caramel brownies, and I think of my sister, who made those brownies for church youth group outings when she was a teenager. I always had to, as an advisor for my younger sister, I always had to grab one of those brownies before they got devoured by everyone else. I associate spaghetti with my mother, who used to make spaghetti with a special meat sauce on my birthday. And if you mention blueberry pancakes, they remind me of my father, because he would make them when we went on camping trips. For the past several weeks, I have been plowing through the 6th chapter of the Gospel of John, which is sometimes called the Bread of Life chapter, because that is where we find that quote of Jesus. The central theme of this chapter is bread and the association of bread with Jesus. And nowhere in this chapter is this association more direct than the section that I just read this morning. And I will admit that I have never, in all my years of preaching, preached on this particular passage. In fact, every time it comes up in the lectionary cycle, I run to one of the other passages from the lectionary, or I'll just skip the lectionary altogether on this particular Sunday. And I'll bet I'm not the only preacher to tiptoe away from this one. One of the commentators on this passage actually wrote, "If it were me, I'd preach on one of the other passages listed for this Sunday." This is a guy who is supposed to be helping us preachers prepare our sermons. And yet, it is most certainly part of Holy Scripture. And it is small wonder that preachers find this passage difficult. Just reading it out loud caused me to cringe a minute ago, and maybe it caused you the same thing. "Very truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." Okay, I just get all kind of like this when I read that. I even consulted the Greek words behind that passage just to see if the translation was correct. Unfortunately, it was. But I'm not the only one with a problem with Jesus' words here. The Jews that were listening to him had similar problems, as John tells us, for they say, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" They seem just as put off, just as confused as I do. Of course, Jesus is speaking in metaphor, something he often does, particularly as recorded in the Gospel of John. Think back to the beginning of the Gospel where John writes, "In the beginning was the Word," a metaphor about who Jesus was, and goes on to say, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." It is clear that John is making a connection with the Lord's Supper in this sixth chapter. "This is my body, broken for you. This is my blood, shed for you. Take, eat." You can hear echoes of that in what I read from the sixth chapter of John. What is interesting is that John does not actually record the Lord's Supper in his gospel, which is kind of strange when you think about how important the Lord's Supper is to the church through all these years, and yet John leaves it out. But his gospel was written long after Matthew, Mark, and Luke, who all recorded the details of the Lord's Supper or the Last Supper. And so by the time John wrote, the practice and the history of the Lord's Supper was well known and well established. And so instead of recounting the Lord's Supper, which he must have figured everybody knew, he makes sure that we understand what it means by recording these words of Jesus in our passage this morning. "Just as the Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me." You know, eating is a very personal act, and even an intimate act. And Jesus is inviting his listeners into a true intimacy with him. Those of us who have been conditioned to think through cool, detached, distant, and dispassionate consideration may find it strange to be told that we are to think about the Word made flesh, that we are to listen to these words that speak of ingestion, consumption, and point to a deep engagement. The metaphor reminds me of Paul's claim in Galatians where he says, "No longer I, but Christ who lives in me." The old adage, "You are what you eat." Jesus is presenting that front and center. The great preacher and biblical scholar William Willimon wrote, "There is no knowing who the Christ is without visceral total engagement. We will not be able to comprehend him by sitting back comfortable in the pew and coolly considering him as if he were an abstract, disembodied idea." Jesus is telling his listeners he's more than an idea. And he's inviting his listeners to fully engage him as fully as one would engage their evening meal. Eating, consuming, engaging, literally making Jesus part of you. That is the challenge Jesus throws in front of us. He says in verse 56, those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me and I in them. Abide is a big word in the Gospel of John. He uses it over and over. And the Greek word behind it is much richer than our English translation of it. The word meno has connotations that mean to stay, to stand fast, to remain in a lasting way. Listen to how the verse sounds when translated with the word stand fast in place of abide, where it says, those who eat my flesh and drink my blood stand fast in me and I in them. What a powerful thought. That we stand fast against the world in Christ, and Christ stands fast in us. The closer our connection with Jesus, the deeper our faith becomes. It seems like a rather simple truth, but there is part of us that would hold Jesus' arm's length. We are willing to listen to what he says, but to make his teachings part of who we are is something more. Something where we pick and choose and decide this one's okay and I'm not so sure about that one. We are willing to say that we love Jesus, but to fully embrace him and his claim in our life, that is something that we are very ginger about. We are willing to meet Jesus at the table, willing to listen to what he says, but to make him the meal is beyond our sensibilities. And yet, this is exactly what Jesus is asking to do, to fully engage him with our whole selves. Wouldn't the Christian faith be easier if it were a matter of mere belief or intellectual assent? But Jesus intends to have all of us, body, mind, and soul. This truth wants to burrow deep within us, to consume us and as we consume Jesus, to flow through our veins and to nourish our innermost being. Another way of looking at this is that Jesus is reminding us in powerful metaphorical language that our faith is not a spectator sport. We are not watching Jesus on our televisions like we were watching the Olympics a week ago. We are not even in the stands. We are out on the field. We are the ones running the race, kicking the ball, clearing the hurdles. We are the ones who make faith a living faith through our total engagement with Jesus, with our living the life Jesus taught us to live each and every moment of each and every day. An Oxford theology professor once said that his toughest task for his students was for them to answer the question, what is theology about? He said that his students tended to respond that theology is about spiritual matters, or it's about religion, or it's about the deeper meaning of life. But this professor instructed them that theology is about everything. And that is exactly what Jesus is telling us here in the sixth chapter of John. Following Jesus is about everything. Just as we cannot live without our food, we cannot live without Jesus. As much as we would like to compartmentalize our life, work on Monday, relax on Saturday, church on Sunday, Jesus, it is all one and the same. How we work on Monday is intimately connected with our faith, just as how we relax on Saturday is just as intimately connected with our faith, just as the time in church on Sunday is intimately connected with our faith. And our time in church on Sunday is about our work on Monday. It's about our relaxing on Saturday. It all weaves together. They all belong to Jesus, and every meal we eat is a reminder of this. Jesus has come down from heaven with the intention of taking us all back to him. And he wants all of us and all parts of us. And he wants us to have all of him. I purposely placed this sermon between our usual communion Sundays because I wanted to emphasize that this intimate connection with Jesus is not limited to the communion meal. Jesus sits with us at every meal. The bread of heaven is part of each meal we eat, and even when there is no bread on the table. Jesus is telling us that he is available to us in this intimate, personal way, each and every moment of our lives. And this is the life Jesus calls us to. And if we are willing to enter into this life, we will discover how to live forever. Amen.